Clytus, I'm bored. What plaything can you offer me today?
Is that war rocket Ajax? To bring back his body?
Everybody, and welcome to War Rocket Ajax. This is usually the internet's most destructive comic book and pop culture podcast, and we are your hosts. My name is Chris Sims, and with me as always is Mr. Matt Wilson. Matt, how are you?
Chris, I'm good, and I think this week we can call it the internet's most chilled out.
The internet's most relaxed, chilled out, enjoying that Labor Daber.
That's right. It's Labor Day. We're taking it easy this week.
I'm sitting on a cooler. Matt, you're at the grill.
That's right.
It's weird because we're both in our respective offices in different buildings.
But I'm cooking up some burgers. You're keeping the brews cold.
Oh, I got some cold ones. Hey, the boys back because I got some cold ones. You told me not to put any songs in here, but I could put The Boys Are Back in Town playing under this entire episode, which we should do.
It's time to gather up boys and bro out and have a good old time. So here's what we're doing this week. We're not doing like the regular segments. We're not checking and wrecking or doing comics reviews, even though you should go read that Shiloh Norman Black Racer one-shot.
I'm really excited about reading that. I haven't read it yet, but it looks pretty dope.
Some good Dennis Cowan art in there.
Oh, that's right. It's Reggie Hudlin and Dennis Cowan, right?
Yeah, it's good stuff.
Yeah.
That would have been one of the comics I talked about this week if we were going to do a regular episode, but we're just going to like chill out, catch up a little bit, answer some listener questions. And that'll be it. That'll be it this time around.
Yeah, it's not really checks and wrecks. It's just catching up with your good friends, Chris and Matt. Like, hey, listeners, you're invited to the cookout. Come on over.
Yeah, yeah. So, do you want to answer a question real quick, Chris, or do you want to
I want to catch up.
Okay,
I want to catch up. And I almost always go first on the regular show. So why don't you go first with the catch up here on our chilled out day off episode.
Well, my Labor Day weekend, we're recording this on Sunday instead of Thursday because we're that chilled out. And I have been spending my Labor Day weekend just like rewatching all of Twin Peaks The Return because the finale is tonight. And I'm sure it's exciting. I'm sure it's going to be a fun time. But aside from that, I was on vacation this week.
Yeah.
Marlene and I went down to Charleston and just kind of hung out on the beach. We ate a lot of good food.
You, my dude, went to one of my favorite drinking establishments while you were down there.
No, we went to a few. So which one?
The Gin Joint.
The Gin Joint is fantastic. I got they have something down there that where the bartender, you give them two descriptive words. I may have talked about this on the show before.
I think we've both talked about it on the show before because it's awesome.
You give them two descriptive words and then they make a drink based on that. And I did that and it was delicious. I think I went with refreshing and bubbly.
Yeah.
And
they make mocktails nice as well. So you can be like, yeah. I want a non-alcoholic drink that's fruity and spicy.
Yeah, actually, non-alcoholic is one of the words, so you could just give them non-alcoholic as one of the two words.
When I ordered, they told me that did not count against the two-word limit. So.
Okay, that's nice and helpful. So that happened while I was down there. I stopped in at Captain's Comics, which is down there in Charleston, and we've talked back and forth about me coming down for a signing of Supreme Villainy for Batman Day, which is September 23rd. So if you're down there around then, I may be there. If you go to Captain's Comics, you know, say, hey, is Matt going to be here on Batman Day? Because that would be a cool thing to do. And also, And stuff coming up, I'm going to be at Memphis Comic Expo the weekend of September 16th and 17th. So busy September coming up. So it was nice to have a little vacation where I'm not usually like a beach guy. Like I'm not the biggest like go hang out on the beach type of person, but I really do like going to the beach like around Charleston, like around Folly Beach, because you can like bounce right up off the beach and walk to like a chill dive bar and have it be right there and it not be like super Myrtle Beachy. Where like everything
you can just
is
say trashy instead of Myrtle Beachy. You can just say trashy.
Well, aggressive is the word I would use for Myrtle Beach. Like instead, you can walk up into a dive bar called Surf Bar, where there's just a bunch of dollar bills stapled to the wall. that's the Surf Bar gimmick. Also, they were showing skateboarding videos on the TV behind the bar the whole time we were in there.
Matt, are you telling me you partook in a search for Animal Chin?
It would seem so. It would
Matt,
seem
dark
so.
Forces are amassing in the skate world.
Yeah, you're right.
Heads up, James D'Amato. Feng Shui 4 is going to be based on the classic Bones Brigade skate video, the search for Animal Chin. Just heads up. Heads up on that one.
Speaking of that, we're three parts deep into that, and I don't know if we've actually talked about it on the show. So if people want to go listen to our episodes of One Shot, I think by the time this episode goes up, they will all be up, all four parts. So head over to One Shot Podcast, oneshotpodcast.com, and listen to Feng Shui part 3, 1 through 4. That's Chris and me, Chris returning as Inspector Jackie, and me making my debut as Inspector Shaq, and it was super, super fun to record, and you should go listen to that if you haven't done it.
Yeah, I think the official title of this story is Feng Shui 3, : The Legend of Shaq Fu.
And it, I can guarantee that it does pay off on that promise for you, so please go check that out. But yeah, that's what's up with me. I've been a little all over the place with what I've been talking about, but that was my catch up. That's what I've been doing. Chris, let's catch up. Let's catch up with what's going on with you, my dude.
Well, I've got kind of a follow up that I wanted to update everybody about. A couple weeks ago, I talked about being in therapy and getting on antidepressants for the first time, and I got a lot of really, really great response from listeners. Talking about that, and one person even said that after listening to that, that's when they decided to go and talk to a psychiatrist about getting help themselves, which is awesome. But I wanted to give everybody an update, because the one that I went on, because here's the weird thing about psychiatry and antidepressants, it's all like really specific to a person, so there's a lot of trial and error in trying to figure out what works. And it can be like really discouraging. Cause I got on that first one and, then I like Aiden and I went up to Minneapolis. So I wasn't like home and sleeping and I wasn't on my regular schedule. So I didn't know how it was affecting me. And then we got home and like, I had to kind of wait and see if that changed anything. And it just turned out like that wasn't working for me at all. Like my anxiety was still out of control. Like I still like felt bad all the time. And then I went back to my doctor and she was like, okay, well, we're going to try something else. And I was like, cool. Cause you know, my family has always been like really open about talking about like medicines and psychiatric care and like what works and what doesn't. So I knew there was going to be a lot of trial and error. So she prescribed me the second one, and I'm on it now, and it worked immediately. I feel good in a way that I don't ever remember feeling before. Like maybe when I was a kid, but I haven't been super anxious. I haven't been depressed. I haven't been tired all day, which again, I cannot remember just not being tired all the time. And I've just been like feeling really good, and it took effect like immediately. I've been on it for like 5 days now. And I was talking to Aiden because Aiden, you know, and I asked her if I could talk about this on the show, and she said yes. But she, just a couple months ago, went on an antidepressant that worked for her for the first time. And I remember her saying to me, like, she was like, "Hey, is this what neurotypical feel like all the time? Because if it is, no wonder they say stupid shit like just get out and jog." But yeah, but like, so now a couple months later, I'm going through this exact same thing where I didn't realize like how anxious I was and like how many coping mechanisms I had developed just to deal with like internal stuff even before I get to external things. So, thanks everybody for the support on that front. And I'm actually like doing pretty well on this one.
Well, Chris, I'm super happy to hear that. It makes me feel like I should do that. So maybe I should.
Like, look, it never hurts to like go talk to a professional if you've got like an anxiety disorder or if you feel anxious all the time, like I did. But yeah, like I remember going in and talking to the therapist and the psychiatrist for the first time and then being like, "Oh, you have like generalized anxiety disorder and major depressive disorder." And I was like, "I'm sure that's just what you tell everyone so that everyone feels like they have like a real problem. But thank you." Like, thank you for writing that down. And now that I'm like on something and things feel different, I'm like, "Oh no, that was true. That was actually for real." Which I think is very funny. But yeah, just a quick follow-up on that.
Well, I'm happy to hear that you're feeling better, my dude. That's very, very good to hear.
Yeah. Also, Aiden and I have been in the middle of a Keanu Reeves film festival.
Sure.
That we're having here at the house. Because we watched, on the 4th of July, we watched The Matrix, the most American movie.
Okay.
And then, like, The Matrix Reloaded and The Matrix Revolutions popped up on Netflix, so Aiden watched those. And then we finally got John Wick 2 from the library, so we watched that. And then we were just like, let's keep this going, because Aiden was like, "I've never seen Point Break." And I was like, get the fuck ready. It rules.
Yeah.
So in the past week, God, what did we watch? We watched Keanu, the Key and Peele movie.
I love that movie.
It's really great.
Yeah.
It's really great. We watched... Jeez, what else did we watch? I have Man of Tai Chi, like, sitting on the table from the library. Oh, we watched Constantine. That's what we watched.
Okay. I've never seen that one.
Okay. It's legitimately one of my wife's favorite movies.
Okay.
Which sounds... Like yeah, that was exactly the tone of voice and the word that I said when I found that out. But here's the thing about Constantine. It's not like a bad movie. It's a bad Hellblazer movie.
Right.
But it's like if he was named... I told Aiden, like, if he's named Johnny Utah, this would be fine. And she didn't get that joke. She hasn't seen Point Break. But, like... It's got just enough Hellblazer stuff in it, because like it kind of takes the broad strokes of Dangerous Habits, but the actual movie has a lot to recommend it. There's like really, really good visual stuff and like some really good character stuff. Like Tilda Swinton is in it, and she's really, really good. So, I mean, look, if you haven't seen it, if you're listening to this podcast, you're familiar with John Constantine. And if you haven't seen Constantine, that's understandable. But, like, dust it off. Give it a shot. It's pretty good. It's no John Wick 2. I'll tell you that. But it's pretty good.
Yeah, John Wick 2 is the good shit.
John Wick 2 is, like, that is the wreck, if you need a wreck this week.
I mean, I think I like the first John Wick a little better than John Wick 2, but John Wick 2 is very good.
I do, too, but I like that John Wick 2 continues the trend... And I'm actually really excited to see what Greg Pak does with this, with the Dynamite comic that's going to be coming out. John Wick 2 really continues the world-building stuff.
Of the, like, secret spy society.
Yeah, the Secret Hitman Society.
Our right
where hitman. Everyone is a hitman everywhere.
Well, everybody who stays in that hotel anyway.
No, but like it's like okay, here's a spoiler warning for John Wick 2. There's a part where they put a contract out on John Wick.
Yes, yes, yes.
And like he's walking through is he still in Rome at that point or is he in New York?
He's still in Rome when the contract gets put out, but then he goes to New York immediately thereafter.
Like everyone he walks past, including like people busking in the subway, like just you know, Common is there. Like they're all assassins. It's really great.
Yes, that is true. That is totally true.
Yeah.
All right, that's been our catch up. Maybe in the future we could do a segment called Ketchup and Mustard instead of Chex and Rex.
Ketchup and Mustard is pretty good.
I don't know what the mustard would be. The mustard would be whatever recommending, I suppose, but I hate mustard. The Seattle Burger Adventure should be evidence enough of that.
Yes. But, yeah, that is true. But you know what? The weird thing is we were replacing the word ketchup, which you love.
Oh yeah, I'm looking at the art on my wall right now that says ketchup on everything, which my wife bought me because she knows me so well.
Yes.
All right, that's our catch up, Chris. Let's answer some listener questions.
Yeah, I think we should do that.
Here's an email question, Chris, from Brad Moyer. And we were talking a little bit about the Wachowskis. I never really learned how to say it.
I think it's Wachowskis.
Okay. We were talking about The Matrix a minute ago, so this is somewhat appropriate. The question is the fact that some producer didn't look at Matthew Fox's performance in Speed Racer and say, that's our new Batman, one of many proofs that we live in a darker parallel universe?
Oh, I have often said that we live in a fallen world. As you know, and this might change with the introduction of my new antidepressants. As you know, I firmly believe that the throne of God sits empty.
Yeah, right. Correct. Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, I've never heard of an antidepressant giving somebody religion, but we'll see.
We'll see what happens. I'm also working out. Who knows?
Yeah.
Matthew Fox would be an amazing... He would not be a good Nolan Batman, and he certainly wouldn't be a good fucking Snyder Batman. He'd be like a great, I mean, he'd be a great Wachowski's Batman, honestly, but he'd be like a great, like, slight, like, a Brave and the Bold style Batman, like, in that Adam West, Diedrich Bader vein. Like, he'd be very, very good at that, or would have been 10 years ago when Speed Racer came out, and probably still would be.
My big problem is I cannot separate Racer X Matthew Fox from Lost Matthew Fox. And Lost Matthew Fox is anything but a Batman.
I have zero memories of Lost.
My number one memory of Lost is him is Jack sitting in front of that gate that chain link gate, telling Kate, "We have to go back. We have to go back." And that's not a Batman to me. Not that he's not an actor with range who I'm sure can pull it off, but that is stuck in my head for sure. All right, here's a question from Tumblr. This is from Allie Drinks Coffee. And Chris, you'll recall when we were doing the Every Story Ever special for the month.
Mm-hmm.
Of August,
mm-hmm.
We ranked the comic with the you just rented a jet ski to the Punisher. Kiss that baby goodbye. Is mm-hmm. that did I get all the wording right?
You got it. You got it right. You just rented a jet ski to the Punisher. It's second person, so it is addressing you, the reader, directly.
Right,
and then it burns you immediately.
So I believe that you said in that discussion that in the Every Cover Ever list, that would be number one.
Yes.
Allie Drinks Coffee wants to know, in a hypothetical Every Cover Ever, what is number two?
I mean, That's tough. I mean, it's probably Batman and the Outsiders number one, right?
That is a good one. That is a very, very good one.
Yeah, that's, I mean, it's pretty fucking good. Like, I like covers where somebody's just yelling at someone else, whether it's the reader or Superman.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, if we're talking about, like, iconic covers, maybe, like, as far as, like, covers that have been replicated or redone, like the first Justice League International cover.
Yeah, Justice League number one would be up there. I had another one, too. Oh, OMAC number one, because it's so fucking weird.
Oh, yeah. That's very good.
Yeah, like that's probably in the top five. If it was at all possible for us to, like, do, like, a visual component to this purely audio podcast, I feel like every cover ever is a thing we could do. But,
like, I mean, that's why I shot down the idea to do costumes, like a big list ranking costumes, because it's such a visual thing to talk about. Yeah. Although we have sort of incorporated that into Panel President, which I'm very happy about, because costumes are an important part of a character, so.
Adventure 247 is also a good one. The First Legion story.
Oh, yes. Okay. Is that the one where they're sitting at the dais?
Where they're rejecting him.
Yes. Yes. Okay. Yeah. That's what I was thinking. Any cover where, like, it's like a, I think there was a Wildcats cover that was like it looked like a toy package with all the accessories. That was very fun.
There's a really good Batman Adventures cover like that. It's a two-pack with Batman and the Grey Ghost.
And anything where the logo is incorporated.
Oh, yeah. Thor, what is it, 334? The first Walt Simonson?
Yes.
Yeah, okay, here's the best thing about that. Beta Ray Bill smashes that fucking logo. The next issue, 337, Thor 337. The next issue, Thor has a new logo.
Yeah, fuck yeah. That shit's great.
It's genius.
There's also a Hulk cover. I think it's a Kari Andrews Hulk cover this is one that's been homaged like a million times. There's one where Hulk is holding up the Hulk logo.
Oh, that's Steranko did the original one, that one.
Steranko did the original one, and then it's been homaged like a billion times after that.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. There is a Kari Andrews one that's like that, but it's not the original. Yeah, those are some good ones.
Yeah. I mean, like, you know, Giant Size X-Men number one, pretty fucking good cover.
Oh, yeah, another good cover trick is, like, characters bursting through the paper of the cover.
Yeah.
All right, here we go. Another question. This is from an anonymous Tumblr person who says, I know Kieran has endorsed Rocket League. Have either of you played it yet?
You know, when it was free on PlayStation Network, I played it. But it did nothing for me.
I did the same thing. I got it when it was free on PSN.
Yeah.
And I played it. And it is fun, but it has the problem that a lot of those types of games have for me.
Mm-hmm.
Which is, I feel like I'm really bad at it. And I don't have the time to put into it to get good. Like, I definitely don't have the time to put into, like, suddenly start playing it online. Like, I'll play it against the CPU for a game or two. And that can be fun. But I'm not going to go play it online and embarrass myself. This is why I can't play games like Overwatch. Mm-hmm. Because I'm terrified of going on and just being the worst person on the team and everybody yelling at me.
Okay, that, like, 9 times out of 10, I would, like, if I have to play, like, an online component of a game, I am just not going to play that game.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, if I have to play a game with other people, there have been so many, like, games with gold games on Xbox Live and like PSN games that you can get if you're a PlayStation Plus user. Like so many of those have been like online games that where you know, it's like a team based squad thing. And I'm like, nope, fuck that. 9 times out of 10, I am not going online to play a game. The 10th time is Splatoon or Overwatch.
That's okay. It.
But now Aiden plays Overwatch more than I do, and she will yell at me for fucking up her KD. So that's where we're at here in the online gaming.
I just know that years ago, I was asked to write a Team Fortress thing. That was not published in the form that I wrote it in, but I was asked to do a thing about Team Fortress. And so I decided to go play some Team Fortress 2 to familiarize myself, because I had an idea of like the game and the characters, but I hadn't like actually played it a lot for reasons I just expressed. And I went on there and I played it and like just got instantly killed all the time. And that was when I was just like, here is absolute confirmation that these kind of games are just not for me. Because I feel like I don't know how people get good at it unless they are the first people to play the game. And then they play it nonstop for however long to be good. Because they're so far ahead of the curve. I don't know what kind of like weird anxiety I have about that, but I do. All right, AJ, go ahead.
I have an update for you. I have an update.
Sure.
All-Star Superman number 1, pretty fucking good cover.
Oh, yeah, of course, yeah.
And also, there's a... I'm trying to find it. It's one that I've talked about and Benito has talked about before. There's a Captain Marvel... I think it's Captain Marvel Adventures cover where it's Captain Marvel versus the world. And, like, it's the planet Earth with a weird face, like, coming at him. That cover fucking rules. I'm gonna throw G.I. Joe 21 in there too. I'm doing this list in my head right now.
I mean, look, can I tell you a good one?
Yeah, hit me.
We talked about this single issue of comics a lot, but I will rep for it once again. Spectacular Spider-Man number 246. Not the Sinister Six, not the Emissaries of Evil. It's the Legion of Losers. Mm. And I'll tell you what makes that cover extra good. It's not just the Gibbon, the Grizzly, the Kangaroo, and the Spot, like, coming out after Spider-Man. It's Spider-Man looking back at you, the reader, and saying, you've got to be kidding.
Oh, yeah, the Simonson Fantastic Four run does the same thing during Acts of Vengeance. Like, yes. We were talking about that, too.
Yes, we talked about that.
You're kidding, right? And it goes on for, like, 3 issues, and, like, where the thing keeps being like, why are we fighting all of these shitty Spider-Man villains? it's Captain Marvel Adventures 148, by the way. Go look that shit up. It is fucking awesome.
All right. Here's a question from Settle Chaos 711 that is honestly a snack situation question, but it was sent to War Rocket Podcast.
We don't have... Well, I guess we do have a Movie Fighters Tumblr, don't we?
Yes, we do. The question is, what's the best ginger ale? Is it not 1893 Pepsi Ginger?
The 1893 Pepsi Ginger is not ginger ale. It's ginger cola.
It's ginger cola. That's right.
It's ginger cola, my man.
Well, what is your favorite ginger ale?
I mean, I like the natural brew ginger ale a lot. That stuff's pretty good. I mean, like, talking about, like, widely available stuff... the store brand I would go with is like Seagram's. I like a Seagram's ginger ale. Canada Dry is just like a little too watery for me.
I'll rep for Verner's.
Ooh, Verner's is good.
Yeah.
Verner's is good.
When I made some Pimm's cup for a cookout back on the 4th of July, I used Verner's for that and it worked out real, real nice.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. My father-in-law is really into Schweppes, but I'm not a fan.
Okay.
Seagram's was what I drank constantly when I was on the cruise, by the way. I was chugging Seagram's ginger ale.
Scarchomp has this question for us. Is the part where Darkseid spam emails everyone the anti-life equation, and is it the worst, best, or just the most Morrison-y part of Final Crisis?
It's great.
It's not the best part, but it is good.
What's the best part of Final Crisis?
Oh, Superman! What do you think it is? Superman singing the world back into existence.
See, that's interesting, because you're also wrong. It's when Batman shoots Darkseid with a god bullet.
I mean, that part's great, too.
Oh, when Batman says that he's willing to make a once-in-a-lifetime exception, that shit is good.
I think it's very appropriate that I cited the Superman singing part and you cited the Batman God Gun part.
Oh yeah, you gave the Matt Wilson answer and I gave the Chris Sims answer. It's fine. No, I like that part. That is like most definitely the forerunner to everything that happens in Multiversity, but like especially internet comments defeating the gentry.
Yes. MTG Man Abarbs. MGT Man Abarbs? Maybe that's it. This isn't a question, but they sent in an Ajax stream.
Oh, yeah. Do you want to save this one? Because we're going to do here's my plan for this year's Halloween special. Since we always have Benito on, and we always kind of end up talking about horror movies, and we've done that for like 9 years.
Yeah.
We're going to do War Rocket Ajax Dream Warriors, where we go through everybody's dreams about War Rocket Ajax.
Okay, I'm into that, so I'll keep this under wraps. If you would like to be part of Ajax Dream Warriors on Halloween, send in your Ajax dream, but don't make it up. You had to have really had an Ajax dream. You cannot just be like, it can't just be like you made up a dream and send it to us. Please really have an Ajax dream if you're going to tell us about it.
We will be able to tell.
Here's a question from
Matt, I got
the
an update for you.
Okay.
Captain America 193.
is that some Cap Wolf shit?
No, that's Mad Bomb. But Cap Wolf, I would also put on this list. If you want to talk about, a comic that makes you wonder what the fuck is happening, Captain America number 405, where Captain America is a werewolf.
I mean, one that's also super good is Captain America 332, which is the Captain America No More cover where the flag is bleeding.
The Cap for President issue is good.
The Captain America No More issue also, like, the cover, like, the corner box in the cover is just Lincoln. Just has Abraham Lincoln in it. All right, here's another question. This is from the Masked Curator, who says, they're a newer listener, so maybe this has come up, but they want to know what our issues are with Wizard Magazine. They read it when they were younger, and they only really remember the movie casting and character ranking columns.
Oh, shit, Matt, we haven't talked about Wizard coming back.
Let me finish out the Masked Curator's question. Was there something problematic about it, or just that you began to question their taste in comics? I mean, a little of both, to be honest. We'll talk about Wizard coming back in a second, but I want to answer their question first. We have said on the show, Wizard led us to a lot of good stuff.
Yes.
Like, Wizard would not stop writing about Bone, for example.
Yeah,
and I feel like a lot of people were led to reading Bone because of Wizard Magazine, which is really good.
Yeah, they really hustle hard for Mage, for Kotaku Ojimbo, for Bone, like stuff that honestly, like, neither of us would have read. I think as kids, like, we wouldn't have known to seek it out, right?
Totally. By that same token, boy, was there a lot of Witchblade and Darkchild content in Wizard Magazine. Like, totally uncritical looks at those comics. If Wizard got stuff wrong, it was a lot of, like, uncritical looks at cheesecakey art and objectifying stuff. Like, another one that they repped for a lot was Dawn.
Talking about Joseph Michael Linzer's Dawn?
That's what I'm talking about. And, like, I'm like, a lot of people like those comics, and that is not a problem. I just, like, totally uncritically repping for those comics was probably one of a handful of Wizard's biggest problems.
Yes. I mean, there was that. There was... It was very... I mean, really, the only way to describe it is, like, it's super bro-y, right? Like, it's... In the way that, like, directly influenced the way that I think you and I came up as, like, comics bloggers in like, the early mid-2000s, like, that there's a lot of, like, bro-iness in that that comes from Wizard magazine. And that being the... Because Wizard, keep in mind, was essentially the paper of record for comics. Like, sorry, Comics Journal, but, like, people were reading Wizard.
No, you're totally right about that. I mean, the Comics Journal has always been the kind of highbrow older sibling, but Wizard was the one people were reading. Yeah. But I think if I had to use one word to describe Wizard, I don't think it would be problematic necessarily. I think it would be uncritical. I think it would be cheerleadery.
It was a hype machine.
It was a hype machine.
It was a hype machine until it was time to not be a hype machine. Like, it would turn... Like, if you look... If you go back and read Wizards... Because I found, like, a stack of Wizards at my mom's house, like, not too long ago. And I know that this is something I've kind of become personally close to, and something that I have experienced myself, like, in terms of changing opinions. Just look at the jokes they write about Rob Liefeld, and how, like, there's no jokes about Rob Liefeld in, like, the early 90s, like, in the first couple issues. Then there's, like, a bunch of jokes about Rob Liefeld and, like, how, like, oh, this guy sucks, you know, whatever. Like, all the same standard Rob Liefeld jokes. Then Heroes Reborn happens, and, like Rob's great. Like, you know, he's back. He's returning to make Captain America awesome. And then it's, like, as soon as that's over, it's right back to, like, it's a hype machine that wants to be everybody's friend, no matter who it's, like, bagging on at the time. Which, again, like, you get a lot of that in kind of casual, jokey comics writing or comics blogging and criticism, if you're doing a casual, jokey sort of criticism, which I've done for a long time and continue to do. But it's an uncritical hype machine for good and ill, I think.
Yeah, that's what I would say about it. Like, there are lots of positives to that, and we went through those, like, comics that people maybe wouldn't have been able to have an awareness of.
Wizard was 100% a magazine for teenage boys, and I can't imagine reading it if I was not a teenage boy and not feeling like comics could at all be for me.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Yeah. And you know, I think Wizard had a reputation of being, like, the Wolverine magazine.
Yes.
Like, because Wolverine was on so many covers. But, like, honestly, Wizard had a surprising amount of stuff about non-Big Two comics and independent comics. It's just that it didn't seem to have a hugely discerning eye about those comics. It just, like, the editors picked the ones they liked, and like, there was a lot of stuff about Cerebus in Wizard without ever really mentioning the problems of Cerebus,
which were considerable.
Yeah.
Which, and again, like, that's not to say that there weren't people at Wizard doing good work, and that there weren't, like, good columns at Wizard and good writers working for Wizard. In fact, like, I know a lot of people who, towards the end of Wizard's original lifespan, worked there. Like, Caleb Gulner did some work at Wizard. I think Laura, too, like, might have done a little bit of Wizard work towards the end, but I'm not sure about that. But I feel like the editorial style and, like, the big direction of Wizard was that very, was a thing that I think we try not to be on this show.
Yeah. Yeah. We try to be critical in the nicest way possible, but also like point out what the real problems are in a comic and not be narrow-minded to think that we're the only people reading comics.
Yeah.
Which you know, Wizard was coming out at a different time. I assume whatever Wizard is going to be when it comes back is not going to be that.
I mean, I would not, like, Wizard has, like, the resources to come back in a form that I think would be, like, genuinely good to have around, like, now that like, a site like Comics Alliance isn't around anymore. But I don't, like, I would be very skeptical that would be what they would come back as, based on me still being mad about that time they said New Gods number one sucked. Which, fuck you.
I think they're going to have to come back as something different. And try to have, you know, a greater diversity of voices. Mm-hmm. But who knows what that'll actually turn out to be. We'll just have to see how it goes.
Hey, Matt, I have an update for you.
Okay.
Remember that Paolo Rivera Daredevil number one? The Mark Waid Paolo Rivera Daredevil?
Hell yeah.
Yeah, that shit fucking rules.
That's a good cover. Yeah. I think this is going to be our last question. This is from AJR82, who asks, are there any comics other than Usagi Yojimbo and Astro City that have run for 20 plus years without a bad issue?
No.
I'm going to say no.
When did Jack Staff start?
Well, and also, like, Jack Staff is kind of over, right? Like,
there Jack Staff been... is kind of over and has, like probably a total, like, a tenth of what Usagi Yojimbo has.
Jack Staff debuted in the year 2000.
Yeah. 17 years and no bad issues. But like, about 30 issues.
Yeah, and it's been a good long while. It's been 6 or 7 years since the last one. So, you know, it's Jack Staff, but for all intents and purposes, seems to be over. Even though Mage, you know, is in there. Mage is still going, but it had a long, long break.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of comics that have only good issues. But, like, there's like, 100 issues of... How many... Like, what's Usagi Yojimbo on? Like, 150 from Dark Horse?
Yeah, it's...
Plus,
it's,
like, I think there's, like, 30 more from the original Fantagraphics run?
It's some immense number of comics.
Yeah.
There's been 160 of the current series with... If you take the whole shebang... all, like 220 or more issues of Usagi Yojimbo.
Yeah, because there's 38 issues from Fantagraphics. There's 16 issues from Mirage.
Yeah,
which I don't know if those were reprints or not. No, that would those were new issues. So yeah, like there's 200 issues of Usagi Yojimbo, and they're all good. And I mean, Astro City's the same way. Like Astro City's on what, like 5 years into this new run?
Yeah. I mean, Hellboy's probably in the mix.
Hellboy's pretty strong. I mean, I can't think of a bad issue of Hellboy off the top of my head. I can't even think of like a bad issue of BPRD off the top of my head.
And Hellboy's been coming out for 20 plus years for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. Again, that was another one that Wizard was really like really hipped a lot of people to at the time. I can't think of another one. I can't think of another one that good for that long.
Yeah.
Does anybody out there, aside from Jack Staff, have 50 straight good issues? Like 50 straight greats?
It's a big question. It's a big question. I mean, the 50 straight greats.
Like, Exo Manowar the not the current series, but the Robert Venditti series, that book was good start to finish. And that was 50 issues. But that's like the only one I can think of that's been like that went that long, that good. I think there are books that are probably going to end up like closer to that, like Squirrel Girl's coming on like 4 years, and I've really enjoyed every one of those. But yeah, nobody's getting like 20 years out of it.
Well, I mean, the benefit that Astro City and Usagi Yojimbo have had is they've kind of been able to come out on their own schedule. And the reason that books, a lot of times, even like really, really good comics, have bad issues in the middle, in the midst of runs, is that they have to come out monthly.
Yeah.
And so you just publish whatever you got.
Even the Walt Simonson Thor has two fill-ins, and one of them's really bad.
Yeah. You know, it's not fair to consider monthly comics in that consideration, because it's not going to happen. Like, a book that has to come out every single month is just not going to be consistent. It's just not.
But at the same time, Usagi's close to monthly. There was a hiatus, like, a couple years ago. But before that, I think it had run 10 issues a year for about 20 years.
Yeah, but that's not 12 issues a year.
It's not 12 issues a year. That's true.
All right, I think that's going to be...
Those first 200 issues of Spider-Man are pretty fucking good.
Yeah, but those were over, what, 7 or 8 years?
Yeah, and I'm sure there's a stinker somewhere in there. Hey, Matt, I've got an update for you. Infinity Gauntlet number 4.
Actually, all those Infinity Gauntlet covers are pretty rad.
I mean, yes, they're 1 and 4 in particular are pretty, they're PFG. They're pretty effing great.
Yeah. Number 4 is, that's the one where Thanos is saying, come and get me, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that shit's good.
Yeah, it is.
Okay. That's going to close out this batch of listener questions. Thanks for everybody who sent in a question. If you would like to send in a listener question, you can email one to us at our email address, which is warrocketpodcast@gmail.com. Or you can send it to our Tumblr, which is warrocketpodcast.tumblr.com. Our email address is also where you can send panel president lists, every story ever lists. If you want to sponsor the show, you can let us know there. Or if you just want to drop us a line, you just want to say hi, or let us know about your Ajax dreams, you can do that there. Check out our website, which is warrocketajax.com. That is where you can download the show, stream the show, read show notes, and leave comments. It's also where the Every Story Ever and Panel President lists are. And check us out on Apple Podcasts. If you like the show, head over to Apple Podcasts and leave us a review. Because the more positive reviews we get, the more this show gets shared and featured, which, you know, helps us out. Now we've reached the part of the show where we tell you all the different places you can find us online. For me, you can go to mattdwilson.net and find links to all my stuff, including the brand new 8th issue of Copernicus Jones Robot Detective, which went up on Comixology on Wednesday of last week.
And, hey, awesome.
You might like it. It's the start of a new story. Also, Everything Will Be Okay, my new series, we are so close to being finished with the first issue, and issue 2 is well in the works, so those comics should be going up fairly soon as well. Chris, where can people find your stuff?
People can go to the-isb.com, which is my homepage, and you can find out what I do online. You can get links to columns I write. Like, I have a new weekly column at Looper called That's What's Up, where I answer listener questions, and those have been really fun to write. I recently talked about how I was really scared of Jack Kirby when I was a kid and kind of came around to him when I was like 21. Because that Wizard magazine lied to me about New Gods not being good. But yeah, everything can be found at the-isb.com. And you can find me at the ISB on Twitter or the ISB on Tumblr as well, if you want to follow me at those places. Before we get out of here, we have a we put out the request for good causes for our good cause of the week, and we got one from a listener, Isaac Fulkerson, who is hosting a 5K race to raise money for the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention in memory of his son Chase. It's the second annual 5K, and that is a cause that I think we really can get behind and would love to see people chipping in and donating. All the money from donations and runners, 100%, goes to the AFSP. Everything else, t-shirts, water, food, or whatever, is donated by sponsors and paid for by the organizers. So please check that out. We're going to put that link on warrocketajax.com, but you can go to facebook.com/chasethelight5k. That's CHASETHELIGHT, 5, the number, and K, the letter. Chase the Light 5K on Facebook. Thank you to Isaac for sending that in. That's an awesome thing to be involved in, and we would really encourage our listeners to check that out as a good cause to support.
Definitely, and that is happening on September 23rd, so we may bring it up one more time. I also wanted to point folks, just because it's been such a huge thing over the past week and a half, and it will continue to be, if you want to donate anything to the folks that are going through a really hard time in Texas and Louisiana because of Hurricane Harvey, I know that I've had struggles trying to figure out which charity is the best one to donate to for hurricane relief. And the one I ended up landing on for a donation is called Direct Relief. It's humanitarian supplies and just kind of getting stuff to folks who need it in places where disasters have happened. And I looked them up on Charity Navigator. They spend 99.4% of everything that they spend on programs and services. So if you want to know pretty strongly that the money you're donating is really going to help out people in the Houston area and in Louisiana and Galveston, Texas, and all around the different areas that have been affected by Hurricane Harvey, Direct Relief is a good place to go. It is a place where you can be fairly well assured that that's going to happen. So check out Direct Relief and kick in some money if you want to help out folks who've been affected by the hurricane. All right, Chris, that's going to wrap us up for this episode of War Rocket Ajax. It has been so chilled out and so laid back. I could not be more chill, and I'm glad we did this.
I'm glad we did this too, Matt. Hey, why don't you toss me a bird, and I'll toss you a cold one.
All right, here you go. Here you go, Chris.
I got it.
And you'll notice, you know, we were talking about, like, ketchup and mustard and stuff and how funny that is. I arranged the cheese on your burger in three letters, which is fun. Like a fun, cool, chill thing to do.
Okay. It says I've got it upside down. I thought it was like O-H-O with a hat on. No, it's HQC.
Of course. Because this burger is HQC. I'm going to drink a cold one that's HQC. You just listen to a podcast that's HQC. Talk to you next week, everybody. We love you.
Yeah!
Flash. From this day on.